First John 4, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. 1 John 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You can stop right there. We'll come back through it, but he who does not love does not know God, for God's love. He doesn't just love, he is love. So we say, what is God? He's love. He is love. That is who he is. He is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's keep going. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And we're going to go through these scriptures, or these verses a little bit. Go back through them. But God is love. And we've heard that. We've heard that many times. But when we bring it down into our lives, that this God that we know, this is a central quality. This is the central quality of who he is. It's not, you know, the Bible said there's faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. He is love. He's not miracles. He does miracles, and thank God he is powerful. He's not wisdom, although you can go to God and get wisdom. He knows all things. He's not healing, even though we can go to him and get healed. And all power and strength can be into our body, but the Bible says he's love. He is love, and a central quality of our life as believers ought to be love. Ought to be being like he is, walking like he is. Let's go back and read a few of these verses. Verse 7, love, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He said, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That would throw some people for a loop. Were you saying the only people that can love are the ones that are Christians? Yep. That's what we're saying. You can do things that look like love, that act a certain way, but the love of God you can only get in one place, and that's from God. And the only way that can truly be in your heart and be motivated, be the motivation for your acts, is if you're born again. That's what the Bible says. Do we just read it? He said, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Because love is of God. God is love. That's the only place you get this. And see, the world's got this really twisted. And it calls all kind of things love that they're not love. And people are confused about what love is. You know, that it's just accepting everybody and being nice and just sweet to everybody, and that's love. That's not love. Love is God. And so if we know what God looks like, then we'll know what love looks like. God corrects his children. He disciplines his children. He has fun with his children. But God isn't just a pushover all the time. he does what needs to be done. And sometimes the most loving thing is something that makes some people uncomfortable. But that's what God is. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Because you can't love without knowing God. So if you don't love, even if you're a Christian, if you don't love, you don't know God like you ought to. Because if we knew God, if we truly get to know Him, that'll release the love that's already, if we're Christians, it's already inside of us, and we'll read that. We have the love of God. We don't have to generate it. We don't have to say, it's not like, okay, everybody, let's go out and love this week. You can't do that in your own strength. It's more like just turn the switch on and that'd be like going and saying, go home and make water come out of your faucet. Generate the water. You can't do that. I mean, I suppose you could get some kind of contraption, you know, and put it up in a bucket or something and whatever. But no, what do? You just go on and you turn the knob. And it just comes out, the flow. That switch is sometimes our problem. We have it inside. It's not that, you know, you don't have your water hooked up, but if you sit there and go, I wish I had a nice cold glass of water, and your faucet's sitting right there. People look at you like, well, okay. Where'd you come from? But we know that naturally. All you have to do is just go over there and turn that, and it's going to come out. And every one of us is sitting on, we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. We're going to read that. It's in us. We have it. This love isn't like, go out and do real well to this week and love real hard. That's totally backwards. That's what religion tells us to do. You have to do it. You try to do it. You do better. You love people better. And see, that's where people get it twisted. Because religions all over the world do good works. But if you think that you need to do good works to earn something from God, and so you go out and do things for other people because you think you need to earn it, you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for you. If you think you're going to hell if you don't do them, whose rear end are you trying to save when you do them? Not the other person's, yours. That's selfish. That's not love, because love thinks of the other person, right? Getting ahead of myself, but love's a decision. Love is not, it's not a feeling. This is where people miss it up. Love is a decision. Well, let's just read a little bit. We'll get there. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. See, in this, the love of God was manifested. How? It was manifested toward us that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, He's the source, not us. It's not that we loved Him. It's not that we could do so much for Him. That's, people think that all over the world, religion, even Christians. Think love is doing something for God. No, it's not. It's letting Him flow through us and shine through us and just letting people see Him. We'll see that. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, what did He say? We just ought to love one another? He said, no, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If God loved us, we ought to love one another. If we know Him, and if you know Him, if we know Him, know how good He is, know what a gracious, merciful, loving person He is, and are just enraptured in that, walk around knowing how much God loves us. You can look back over your life and say, wow, You took care of me here. You took care of me here. You took care of me here. It's not hard to love people. It's not hard to love people. Because when we know what He did for us and how good He's been, it just is like you just turning that switch and letting that same love just, if He's loved me so much, it's so much easier for me just to let it flow out and love you. And He loved me when I had nothing going on. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. or that perfected isn't like nitpicky, everything's perfect. It's more like a mature, a fullness. So if we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been grown up in maturedness. That means if we're showing love to each other, that means we know him, we're abiding in him, and we've been matured in that. And we'll love one another. We'll let that switch flow. We'll let that come out of us. Let's skip down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love, and he who abides in love is abiding in God. Why? God is love. So if we're abiding in love, we're abiding in God, and God is in us. God is love. He is this central thing about him that we'll know if we're abiding in God when we're abiding in love. So if we're getting uptight and frustrated or bitter or mad or anything like that with people, we'll know right then we've drifted off and we're not focusing on him like we ought to. We've been lied to. We've let some thought come into us that somehow, I mean, think about it. When do you get upset? Do you just, you know, sunny day, everything's bright, got all the bills paid, feeling great in the body, full stomach, you know, relationships are great. Does that tempt you just to lose your temper? You're walking down for a nice stroll and, you know, just had an ice cream cone, beautiful day, and all of a sudden you just lose it. No. I mean, when everything is going perfect, I mean, your mind is calm and everything, that's not when we get angry. That's not when we lose it. Somehow, something has got in there to stress us out. Well, what is it? Something physical could be pressuring you, something financial, you got an unexpected bill, how am I going to pay for this? Where is that going to come from? That's pressing on your mind. One of your kids, something happens or something. But if you knew, and what I mean no, you were conscious of the fact that God Almighty, let's say it was Jesus walking next to you, how would that change the situation? If you knew he can take care of whatever it is that just came up, would that change your mental capacity at that, or your what you're focusing on right now, that, oh, this is happening, but I got Jesus right here, okay. See, your focus, if you knew he was right next to you all the time, walking next to you, something might pop up. Let's say all of a sudden something on the street, something happens, some stressful thing. But you look over and Jesus is there. All right, I'll just step back. I think this one's for you. I'll let you take this one. That would change you. You wouldn't be upset, but this is how we get upset or not abiding in love. We'll start snapping at people because we're not focused on the fact that God is right there with us. That not only is he next to us, he's in us. And when we feel like we can't love a person, when we're mad, when we're bitter, when they've done something that just ticked us off, and we don't feel like loving them, the love of God's still inside of us, still abiding there. Now, we have a choice at that point. We can get distracted, and we can go off and be mad, and we can let stuff fly out of our mouth, and that's so easy to do, and we're all tempted to do it. Or we can make a choice and let the love that is already inside of us, that what we're talking about, God, who is love, is inside of us. We can say, I'm going to choose right now not to let Jim come out. But I'm going to turn to the faucet on God and let him come out right now. Because I sure don't feel like, if you get Jim right now, you're not going to like what you get. Because Jim does not want to be nice to you right now. But God does. So I believe I'll step aside and let him dominate me right now. I'll let him love you right now. Let's read the next verse. It says, love has been perfected among us. Now notice that same word, like matured, grown in full. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now look at this in context. And what is he talking about right now? He says love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, what is he? He's love. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, that applies to a lot of things. I mean, he's right, we're righteous in him and everything. But look what he's talking about. He is love. And as he is, so are we in this world. So when people look at you, they ought to see love. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're all going to miss it at times. I'm saying if we're flowing with the love of God, they can see God. Because he is love. And when people sense love, when people sense God, love, you acting in love, what they're really picking up on is him. God Almighty. They're getting a taste of him. And I don't care how hard somebody is, how bitter they are, when you show them love, they're seeing him. They're getting a taste of him. And it does something on every person, in the inside of every person. Now they can reject it. They can reject us. And people do. They reject Jesus all the time. They can reject the love, but it still does something on the inside of it. They know that that's what they're looking for. They know. And you can see this. You can see it in movies, in books. It won't even be necessarily Christian, but there is this thing that people have in their mind, and it's love, and that's what they're looking for. The person that is kind, somebody that is rich and powerful, yet will take the time to be nice to somebody that seems inconsequential, will do a deed, and they're kind and they're gentle, and people will say, that's the way it ought to be. Who's that an image of? God, who's rich and has everything, yet bent down and stooped down and was kind to us. That's what people are looking for all the time. And there's only one place to get that true, unadulterated, pure love, and it's God. That isn't tainted by, I'm doing this for you, really for me. I'm doing this for you just because I love you. Why? Because I've been loved. Because he has loved me so richly, I can't help but love you. Because I know me. And I know I'm not deserving of the way he's loved me. Have you ever felt that? You've just gotten a sense of how much he loves you and what he really thinks of you. And you say, wow, God, you are so good. Have you, something ever happened to you and you say, wow, this is better than I would have expected. Boy, you're good, God. Thank you. Thank you. You're so kind to me. You're so gracious to me. Well, does that make you want to go knock somebody's head off? No. It makes you want to see, man, you may not be having your best day, but you know what? I love you. And God does too. And you don't have to say it in those words, just by our actions. Obviously, that's the best way sometimes. You don't have to make a big show of it and say, boy, you're really acting like a jerk today, but I'm going to love you. You know, you just act kind to somebody. You can change somebody's day by just showing them God. Because that's, if somebody's having a bad day, it's because they're not looking at him. Whenever we have a bad day, it's because we're not looking at him. Because even in the worst of circumstances, if we're looking at him, we can still have a good day. In the middle of junk, when stuff's going on, you still, but God, you're here. You haven't left me. Thank God you haven't left me. You're here and I'm getting through this. And I'm coming over and I'm going through. Thank you. Your day can change right there. But if somebody is letting it overtake them and they're just down the dumps and they're letting their mouth fly and just nothing is going right and they're honking at people and yelling at them, you know they're not looking at him right now. They've taken their eye off the ball and they're looking out in left field now. And so if we'll just show them a little bit of God, that can maybe help them, you know, come back. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," thank God for that, He's rich in mercy. The devil ever tells you you've blown it too much, you just remind him that God's rich in mercy. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how much we've messed up, it doesn't matter how many stupid things we've done, if we'll just go back to God and say, "God, I blew it. Man, that was dumb. But Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me for that. That was dumb." He's rich in mercy. He's got plenty to spare. And He'll bail you out. Doesn't matter how stupid you were. You did something stupid with your body you shouldn't have. The devil will try to get you to beat you up saying, "Dummy, dummy, you were dumb. You were stupid. Why didn't you listen? Now look what you did. There's no turning back." That's a lie. Because what does he want to do? Drive you away from God, so that you won't turn to Him. Because He knows if you turn to Him, God's rich in mercy and He'll bail you out. And if you know that if you turn to God and just say, "God, I blew it, forgive me," He'll bail you out. He's rich in mercy. Don't ever let the devil convince you that you've done something too stupid, that God can't bail you out. No, He'll bail you out. People smoked all, done, you know, drugs and done stuff to where their brain was, you know, completely fried. There's people that have done that and then just turned to God and their brain just restored to normal. They're going out doing great things today. I heard a testimony, somebody had smoked, you know, a ton and messed up their lungs and whatever, and just, you know, they turned back to God, was in a healing service, and their lungs were restored. God's merciful. God is good. The devil wants to drive you away from Him so that you won't turn and receive His mercy. That's what he's telling sinners. That's what he's telling people that haven't received God. He's saying God, you know, he'll tell them all kinds of lies to keep them from turning to God, because if they turn to God, they'll be saved and their life will be turned around. He's rich in mercy. Look what it says here. It says, "God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us." Because of His love. "That He loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." So even when we were dead. So anytime the enemy comes and tells you, "Boy, what, you know, some Christian you are, look at all the stupid stuff you've done lately. You didn't walk in love. You let your mouth fly. You said this, you said that. You're just a bad person." If you, and you've heard the word, you knew that, but you're not doing it, you're sorry. Anytime you hear those kind of things, you just shoot right back. Well, what did you do? You know, it says that God loved us when we were dead in trespasses. Before we ever turned to Him, He loved us. He looked at us and He loved us. So how much more He loves us now that we're Christians and we're born of Him? That's a lie. That's an absolute falsehood. He's again trying to drive us away from God. It says, "Though even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." But notice that. He says, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." When we were dead, God loved us. Do you think He liked? I mean, looking at us just in the natural. We're dead in trespasses, sins. Maybe we were off doing things that displeased Him, rejecting Him. But it says He loved us. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think He had the ooey-gooey feelings of, "Boy, they're just pleasing me right now. Boy, they just tripped my trigger. They're doing so." Is that what He was thinking? The Bible says God's a person. And we have emotions. They came from somewhere. God, it said, you know, in the Bible, God was angry. He loved. Do you think He was having this great feeling of, "Boy, they're blessing me right now"? Oh, if love were that, It said that he loved us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, we weren't probably giving him warm fuzzies, but he loved us. So can we love other people when they're not giving us warm fuzzies? No, we're walking in love the strongest when they're not giving us warm fuzzies, and yet we still treat them the way God would treat them. I didn't say we just lay down. I didn't say we just act like a doormat. We just say, oh, that's great. You're just great anyway, even though you're acting. No, that's not the way God. That's not love. But we act the way God would tell us to love. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. You walk in love by faith, just like you do anything else. You walk in love as a choice, not as I feel like it. It's the same way you receive anything from God or walk in anything from God. You don't say, I'm healed because I feel healed. You don't say, well, all my needs are taken care of because I can see how everything's going to come in. No, you say, God, you said it, so I believe it. Well, he said that he is love, and that love, we'll get to it, has been poured out in our heart. Well, then, in the middle of it, when I feel like not being nice to somebody and they're not blessing me, but I know I have love inside of me, it's a decision whether I'm going to agree with him or agree with my feelings, just like it is anywhere. So I can choose to love them just like God chose to love me before I ever did anything for him. I can choose. I can say, hey, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to treat you the way God would treat you. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Luke. We'll come back to Romans. Let's go to Luke 17. So you see this, and we know it, but it's just getting worse. You know, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. People think they're in love. Yeah, I'm looking at some people that have been married 50 years, so I you know, much further than I am about these kind of things. But people, what they call love and this music you hear and the stuff they sing about and stuff, you know, I work out at work, and I always have headphones on. I'm listening to teaching most of the time. But, you know, while I'm coming in and going out, and like yesterday I didn't have my headphones, the stuff the people sing, it's just nuts. You know, you just try to block it out. But, you know, what they're talking about all the time, and it's just like destruction. Oh, man, you think that's fun. It'll be fun for a little bit, but wait till you get the bill. You know, yeah, it might be fun, but wait till you see how much it's going to cost you. Oh, the things that people have their eyes on and the things that people call love. It's sad. And it's gotten worse. I mean, it's been like that. We could have said that 20 years ago, and you could have said it 40 years ago. But it just keeps going to where people are just going further and further away from what God has told them to do. And they're easier. The moral constraint in society is going down to where things that would be hard to do, they would be easier to do in a dark place, but not with a lot of people around. Now it's easier to do with a lot of people around, because just the whole moral compass has just gone down. And we know this, but it's no less true. And so, you know, people are celebrating Valentine's Day tomorrow, and a lot of people that don't even, don't love each other remotely, going to think they have to go do a whole bunch of different things, and it's not love. It's not a decision, and the first chance somebody ticks them off or whatever, they're out of there. You don't please me, I'm gone, but I'm going to sing about how much you do for me and everything, and that's just, it's not godly, and it's not productive. Luke 17:3. It says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. In verse 5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. They said that right after. I mean, I know there's probably a break, another heading, but it says, and the apostles said. They said that right after he said, If your brother comes to you, does the same thing. Now think about this. Think about this. Somebody does something to tick you off and to do something bad to you and does it once and then comes to you and says, man, I blew it. I blew it. Will you forgive me? Yes, I'll forgive you. All right. Then a half hour later, they come and do the exact same thing. Oh, man, I miss it again. Will you forgive me? Well, all right. Yeah, I'll forgive you. And then an hour later, they come and do the same thing and come and ask you, well, you know, I blew it again. Forgive me. You might be slower in saying, yeah, I forgive you. But then they do it again, and they do it again. And in another place, it says if they do it, what, 7 times, 70 times? That's not a literal number. That basically means as many as it takes. Does that make you happy to hear that? I don't know. Your flesh doesn't want to hear that. Your flesh says, 4's it. 5, maybe. That's it. I'm cutting them off. Seriously, you want to hear somebody doing something. That doesn't mean we have to lay down and take it. I mean, he also said in verse 3, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Tell him he did something wrong, but he says if he repents, if he sincerely repents, forgive him. This doesn't mean if somebody's unrepentant, just doing the same thing and just, forgive me. No, that's not somebody that repents, but if somebody blows it and comes to you and says, man, I'm sorry. I blew it again. Will you forgive me? We're supposed to forgive them. Now, if somebody's done this 18 times, do you have ooey-gooey feelings toward them at this point? You have some type of feeling, but it's probably not ooey-gooey or warm, fuzzy feelings. You have something, but you're not thinking, man, you're a great person. You're probably thinking something else, but God himself treats us this way. And if we don't think that, that's when we do the same stupid thing, 12, 13, 14, 15 times. I'm not saying we should live in sin. I'm saying you're dealing with something, or, you know, it doesn't have to be in the same day, but you do something that you've done before many times, and then you did it again. If we think that there's a limit to God's mercy and grace, and surely he's fed up with me, you will go the opposite way. You'll run away from him. You'll say, I don't even want to face him anymore. I'm going the other way. Now, who would be telling us and giving us such thoughts? The enemy. Because God himself, it says, is rich in mercy. And before we ever did anything good, he loved us. And if he's telling us to do as much as it takes to forgive somebody else, you think he's going to do any less? No. God is love. Anything that he tells us to do, he is infinitely greater in. He's never going to tell a human, a fallen human being, to do what he's not going to do himself. No. No, he's way greater than us. And so if we'll have the attitude, see, this will trip us up. Because when we're hard on ourselves, that's how we'll be to other people. When you think God's hard on you, you'll be hard on other people. We won't choose to forgive them. We'll say, because what? You're not going to forgive yourself. If we won't forgive ourselves, then when somebody else blows it, we're going to keep it tight and to the vest. We're going to say, no, you've had your chances. But when we know how much God has given us and that he's given us chance and chance and chance, and he is working with us right now with the stuff we don't even aware. We're not even aware of the stupid stuff that we're doing right now in our character and our flaws, but he's working with us and he's helping us. If we're aware of that, then we can say, we can turn to somebody and forgive them. But it's a choice. It is not a feeling. You may feel love. Thank God for those days that you really feel love towards somebody. Thank God for them. When everything's going, thank God for that. But on those days where you don't, you can still love them. You can still say, hey. And that's when you know, that's when you're really walking in love. Anybody can do it on the days when you feel all great. That's just flesh. You make me feel good, I'll make you feel good. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's not God. But God, when we were slapping him in the face, he turned towards us and he loved us. Let's turn over to Romans. Romans 5:5. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 5, Romans 5, 5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I'm just going to read the note in my Bible. It says this word, agape, denotes an undefeatable benevolence and unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what he does. It is the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of its object. Agape is more a love by choice than this other word, which is love by chance, and it refers to the will rather than the emotion. Not the way we feel. Not the way we feel. And so you can turn this both ways. When you don't feel like God loves you, we don't go by that. You may feel like God is as far away from you as ever today. And you could say, well, God just feels like God left me today. I don't feel loved today. What does that have to do with it? God already sent his only begotten Son to die for us, and he chose to do it. He hadn't gone anywhere. He's the same yesterday and today forever. So when we don't feel like he's there, he's there. He is there. And it's the same thing when we don't feel like giving that love. No, that doesn't have anything to do with it. It's an unconditional love. Verse 6 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will someone die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So much more, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were when we were enemies, when we were his enemy, think of that. When we were enemies of God, how do you have those warm fuzzies towards your enemy? This goes for people. Now this hits us where we live. The people that you think of somebody right now that you're not fond of. It don't have to be your dead enemy, but just think of somebody you're not real fond of. When we were enemies toward God, he loved us. Now, what did he tell us to do? Enemies. Enemies. He loved us when we were enemies. So what is he wanting us to do to our enemies? Love them. Now, does that mean we lay down and let them run over us? No. No, that is not love. But we can show them the love of God that's already inside of us. We just read it above. That love of God is on the inside of us. He said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we were enemies of God, and we were reconciled because of what Jesus did. And so in our day-to-day life, they don't have to be enemies. They could be co-workers. They could be whoever, spouse, friends, relatives, whatever. We can choose to let that same God, just like God chose. He said, he looked down through time and he said, Jim is my enemy right now. But I'm going to choose to love him anyway. And so when we look at people around us, we can just choose to let that love flow through. And it's not, boy, I'm just going to just work it up and love you. It's more like, now I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to let God, through me, love you. Because it's in there. I know it. I'm going to let it out. No matter what I feel right now, I'm going to love you. And the more we do that, the more the feelings will follow. Our emotions follow our will. A lot of times. But he is so good. And he loves us so much. And he is so rich in mercy. So good to us. Thank God. Let's just meditate on that just for a minute.